Well, yesterday we didn't practice Skyler. He just took all the mental reps yesterday, and we practiced Will and Nick were the main ones today. Our hope is that Skyler can take some of the reps today. We'll find out how much he can take, but we hope he can take a few and then obviously increase it more on Wednesday if he's available. And that's obviously going to be contingent upon what he can do today and tomorrow. But we'll split those reps up. I want to make sure that Will and Nick as well can take some snaps and be able to operate our system in case Skyler after Tuesday or midway through Wednesday doesn't feel like he can go, but we think he can.
Chris Kleiman, the head coach of the K-State Wildcat football team, now with a new contract extension. We'll touch upon that here in a moment as he was discussing Skylar Thompson's injury. And before that, Bradley Moore about the confidence the team has in freshman Will Howard. It's time for K-State Athletics in Focus today, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Joined now by the sideline reporter. He also hosts the pre- and post-game, as you can hear all the time, with K-State football as the Wildcats off to a 2-0 start Big 12 play. It is Matt Walters. Matt, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, Wade. How are you?
I'm doing great, and appreciate you taking the time to join us here today on the ticket. And it is kind of crazy what's already happened during this season. We've seen K-State lose to Arkansas State, then go into Norman and come back from a 21-point deficit and win, and then beat Texas Tech at home when their starting quarterback goes down. I mean, that's a pretty eventful 3 weeks already for this football team.
Well, and you haven't even touched upon other injuries or COVID affecting this football team. So it has, it's been nuts. You know, Chris Kleiman and his staff have done a heck of a job. The kids have done a heck of a job. And, you know, as Coach told me not long ago, he said, man, this is a grind of all grinds. And it's, you know, walking in their shoes right now is not easy, but, you know, what K-State was when they lost to Arkansas State is totally different than what K-State is now, and they've done some very good things, but it's a long journey, as you and I both know.
Absolutely. Before we get into the contract extension and the quarterback injury situation, I don't want to forget to ask you this. What's it like now on the sidelines without, you know, a packed house, whether it be on the road or at home? How is it different for you as you're on the sidelines during the games?
Well, the only word that I think describes it best is just weird. Mm-hmm. You know, for the two home games, I would say it was much less weird during Texas Tech than Arkansas State. But, you know, I don't want to say I've typically had free reign on the sidelines because that's not accurate. But now I'm pretty much relegated to the back of the end zones at home, and then you know, maybe between the goal line and the 10, depending on who else is down on the field. You know, K-State's keeping as many people off the field as possible. You know, at Oklahoma, I was kind of stuck in the southeast corner, and it, you know, makes it a little difficult when the ball's at the opposite 20. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm just thankful that we have the opportunity to have games and broadcast the games and be a part of it. So, you know, it's kind of going to plan B and make the best of what you have. But it's definitely far from normal.
Matt Walters, sideline reporter during K-State football broadcast, also hosts a pregame and postgame coverage on the K-State Radio Network. Our guest today on the Sports Ticket. All right, Coach Kleiman gets a contract extension. Paid base salary now $3.1 million next season, $3.5 million in 2022, $4 million in 2023, $4.3 million each year from 2024 to 2026. Also, retention bonuses in place, as well as a pretty big buyout if somebody wants to come and take him away from Kansas State University. First of all, just your thoughts on the extension. I know they've been talking about this for quite some time. In fact, they kind of put everything on hold when everything broke with COVID back in March. But this is kind of a no-brainer, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is, Wade. It's a case where, you know, to some the timing may have seemed odd, and I can get that.
Sure.
But, you know, if you think what Chris Kleiman has done since he stepped foot in Manhattan, yeah, he won 8 games his first year, but what he and his staff have had to do and had to deal with, you know, all the way to this point, and how they've handled it and what they've accomplished, I think, you know, speaks volumes you know, not just what kind of coach he is and what kind of coaches that he has on his staff, but, you know, what kind of individual he is. Coach is rock solid. You know, he said something here a few weeks ago, Wade, that's gonna stick with me. You know, he talked about this being a marathon and not a sprint, and he had been asked about, you know, do you do some unique things or weird things to just try and win games this year, you know, with COVID playing in and all those other factors. And he said, no, again, this is a marathon. We're developing our system. We are, you know, trying to get the philosophy ingrained in everybody, and we're not just going to go do some fly-by-night things just to, you know, try and win some football games. And, you know, I think that's going to pay off. It has in a number of regards, and it's going to. And, you know, I think on the recruiting front, it's big because K-State's recruiting has elevated dramatically in the last couple of years. And, you know, the fact that when Coach or one of his staff go into a home, you know, they're able to say, hey, Coach is locked in. You don't have to worry about him, you know, leaving town. So I think it's a very good thing. And I'm glad he's K-State's coach because he's doing a heck of a job.
Yeah, absolutely. And just put in perspective, folks that are listening, if you're going, wow, well, $4.3 million is a lot of money. It is, no doubt. A little bit more than Matt and I make combined.
Not much.
Yeah, not much. Just a hair. Just a Benjamin or two. But the Sooners' Lincoln Riley, who is 0-2 against Coach Klieman, Lincoln Riley's six-year deal averages $7.5 million per season. So Klieman gets a raise.
He was at the bottom of the pack in the Big 12, and now he's kind of in the middle of the pack. And you know, again, I think it's well worth it. And you know, there are a lot of other guys that are making a lot more money and aren't having nearly the success.
Absolutely, well said. All right, the quarterback situation. Coach Klieman talking about Skylar Thompson's injury there before we brought you on the air. Will Howard, the freshman, who I thought did a pretty good job the other day, all things considered. I didn't understand a little bit of criticism of him, although it doesn't matter what you do in today's society. You're going to be criticized no matter what you do, considering he didn't have spring ball and everything else. But let's just start with Skylar. What do we know about Skylar Thompson and his situation for K-State?
Well, I'd probably classify it as day-to-day. And, you know, I heard the audio that you played before coming on. And to me, and I'm speaking for myself, Wade, is I don't think K-State really wants to force the issue with Skylar. It's a case of, you know, they're fortunate he didn't break anything. It was an ugly hit. You know, Rico Jeffers was running his yap a lot with Skylar, and he popped him a couple of times, you know, prior to that. But I think K-State's going to, you know, they're going to do the smart thing and manage this. And if, you know, if Skylar's able to go and he can, you know, tolerate some pain, great. If not, it's going to be in the lap of Will Howard. I know his teammates believe in him. You know, Coach has said, he told me coming out of halftime on Saturday, I said, how much is on Will Howard's plate right now? And he said, everything. And he said it again on, you know, Tuesday, yesterday's press conference. So is he as seasoned as Skylar Thompson? Obviously not. Can he do everything that Skylar Thompson can? Obviously not. But for a freshman, he's still pretty far along. And, you know, he'll have his hands full because TCU is extremely aggressive. They're awfully physical. They get after you. You know, Tech constantly brought to house. TCU's going to do the same thing on Saturday, if it is Will Howard. But, you know, while he may not be able to execute certain things, you know, he's really only played in one meaningful game, and it's going to take some time. But I will tell you, if you're a K-State fan, the quarterback combination when Skylar Thompson is no longer playing at K-State, the quarterback combination K-State's going to have of Will Howard and a guy like Jake Rubley who's coming in, it's going to be one of the best combinations K-State's had in a long time.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. And the other thing to add to that is what we saw against Texas Tech. some of these true freshmen, not only Howard out there, but of course Deuce Vaughn, we know, my goodness, I'm telling you, can you just tell Coach Kleiman, for all us fans out there, just give it to Deuce every time. I'll pay to watch on TV when it's free. I mean, that kid is so much fun to watch. But there are other true freshmen that got to play and played well. The Smith kid in the secondary was popping people. I mean, the future looks bright, and you talked about recruiting, but these kids getting that experience now, in some cases maybe not expected, but with COVID and injuries and this and that, it's going to pay dividends down the line, won't it?
And it was appropriate for those who've, you know, been around a while. They'll remember the name Mario Smith, who played safety, or the same number, and brought the lumber as well, and that's what TJ did on Saturday. He's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, K-State had a freshman in on the offensive line for a little bit. You know, they've got plenty of freshmen that have been starting the first couple of ball games on the offensive line. So, yeah, I mean, the positive, one of the positives weight of what's gone on is Kansas State has been able to get guys in game looks, see what they can do, and now they know, and K-State's depth is just so much better. And I think that was a concern coming into the year, but I think that's been, you know, soothed, so to speak, because there have been so many guys whose names have barely, if ever, been called that are now really contributing for this program.
One of the things that I think we all can get caught up in is when the season started, and this was unusual beginning of a season, because I thought you made a good point there in regards to figuring out players' roles. Normally, in a regular year, you would have had 3 non-con games. You would have had more time to perhaps see where these kids should be, and not against as good a competition. You still get your wins or whatever, and you get ready for Big 12 play. I heard this the other day about the Chiefs, is that, you know, Willie Gay, rookie linebacker, that had the Chiefs had a full preseason, he'd probably be playing more now than he is, but the Chiefs didn't have that luxury because of COVID-19 and preseason being canceled. That has been, I would imagine, really difficult for the coaches, because it's like, ooh, you play one game and then boom, you're right in the Big 12 conference play. And of course, they started at Oklahoma. Talk about the challenges of that for the coaching staff, trying to figure out those roles in a quick matter of time without having those extra games.
Well, and along with that, the biggest issue, you know, when K-State really started practicing was, you know, who's available today?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because there were so many kids that, you know, either tested positive or out because of contact tracing or what have you, is there were days where, you know, position groups were thin. I mean, we've heard about that at other places like Oklahoma, for instance. And, you know, that's where, you know, you step out on the practice field and you got a position group and there's 3 or 4 dudes there. And, you know, that's what led Coach to, you know, calling it the grind of all grinds, and K-State's been able to, you know, navigate those rough waters and give some guys some opportunities. And what that's also done is I think it's given more of the young guys more looks even on the scout squad, which is important as well when you talk about development. So, you know, it's hard to develop consistency when you just got a constant rotation of guys that practice every day, and that's why, you know, I know this will sound odd, Wade, and you know, K-State sits at 2-1. Who knows what happens in the upcoming weeks? But since this is kind of a quote unquote free year,
yeah,
you know, to me the wins and the losses aren't the biggest thing. You know, in some ways, I would say that to me they don't even matter this year because of what's gone on and what Kansas State's going to be able to get accomplished is so far reaching down the road with the younger players and what have you. But, you know, there have been headaches, there have been lots of trials and tribulations, but, you know, we're starting to see some of those successes as well, and that's really what's fun to watch.
Matt Walters is K-State Sports Network sideline reporter during the football games and host of pre- and post-game coverage, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. All right, the matchup is TCU. TCU fresh off the win over Texas. The Big 12 race is exactly what Matt and I predicted before the season. OU 0-2, Texas 1-1, and at the end of the day on Saturday, Either OU and Texas will both be 1-2 in conference, or OU will be 0-3. And of course, Iowa State and K-State at the top here, along with Oklahoma State. TCU, they got experienced quarterback, talented quarterback. K-State, TCU have had some battles over the years, and with not knowing for sure the Skylar Thompson situation, how do you handicap this game down in Fort Worth on Saturday?
Well, the fact that TCU has Max Duggan back after, you know, a few weeks ago when it appeared maybe his career was done, I think speaks, you know, volumes for TCU. He does it with his arm and he does it with his legs. I think he's, in some respects, even a more dangerous runner. He caused K-State a lot of problems last year. You know, when I think about matchups of years past with TCU, Wade, I just think of how physical they are as a team, you know, especially on the defensive side. It always seems like has guys really getting banged up in this particular ball game every year. You know, TCU is very, very well coached. It's down there. K-State's going to be playing on, you know, on grass, which doesn't happen every week now because of all the turf. But, you know, TCU is a load, and the fact that they, you know, they almost beat Iowa State, and then they do beat Texas, and it wasn't surprising that they beat Texas at all, because Texas is the most white-collar football program from border to border in this country. You know, it's going to be a knockdown dragout, and I think K-State has progressively gotten better. They didn't like falling down by 21 against Oklahoma, but they came back and won. You know, they gave up the 14-point lead against Texas Tech, but they came back and won. So, you know, it would behoove K-State not to fall behind. But, you know, we'll see if it's Will Howard that's running the ship on Saturday. You know, I'll guarantee you two things. If that is the case, if Will Howard is the quarterback, K-State is going to see an immense amount of pressure, and it's easier said than done, but Gary Patterson and his defensive staff are going to do everything they can to eliminate Deuce Vaughn. Again, easier said than done. Nobody's really been able to do that yet, but K-State needs some other guys to step up. Malik Knowles, you know, Bradley Moore's been really good so far. Shabastin Taylor at times has been good. K-State's probably going to have to do some things in the passing game, I think, on Saturday if they're going to have a good chance of getting out of Fort Worth with another win.
Our focus on K-State Athletics today brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. All right, Matt, time for Off the Wall. I usually end with one question off the wall, but I actually have two for you because I wanted to ask both. So I'll start with the first one that's probably the easier one. Worst weather-related sideline experience you have gone through?
Worst weather.
Yeah, what was a horrible situation where you just couldn't wait to get off the sidelines? Like, my goodness, these are way too hot, too windy, too much rain,
yeah,
whatever.
And I'm going to give you two answers. Okay. One was a home Oklahoma game a few years ago when Baker Mayfield was the quarterback, because it was just brutally cold that day. And the other one was early on when I started on the sidelines at Mizzou, when the game temperature stayed at about 34. And it rained the entire time. That's back when Josh Freeman was the quarterback. But those were probably the two most miserable days weather-wise on the sidelines.
Bonus question, follow-up. How many layers of clothing, or the most amount of layers of clothing you've had to wear while being a sideline reporter?
Six.
Six?
Six.
Six layers of clothing. You got to take me through this. What is that, four hoodies? How does that work?
Yeah. Well, I'll preface that by saying I'm – as long as the – let's say as long as above the belt is warm,
yeah,
then I'm good.
Uh-huh.
The day I had six layers, you know, had the long johns going bottom half, but up above I had, let's see, like a typical, you know, undershirt that you would wear to work.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had like the Under Armour, you know, dry fit or Nike dry fit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had on another dry fit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put on a little bit of a thicker long sleeve, and then there was a hoodie, and then there was a coat.
What extra bonus question? This is fun. So what part of your body gets the coldest? What do you have to worry about? Is it your fingers, your ears, your nose, your face, your head, the toes? For me, it's the feet. Yeah, my feet get cold so easily.
I would say my feet and my hands, because I can't wear gloves. I could, but I don't wear gloves because it really makes turning the microphone on and off
right.
a nightmare. So I don't wear gloves. So I've always got to keep one hand in a pocket, but hands and feet. But that's okay. I'll survive. I haven't lost any digits yet, so I'm not overly concerned about it.
If you get to the point where you do, you've gone too far in your job, and you definitely need a raise if you do something like that.
I can go stick my hand or my foot inside one of those jet engine heaters they've got on the sidelines if I have to.
Yeah, does workers' comp cover that? You know, frozen digit or something? I don't know how that
goes. That's a good question. I got to find that out.
Yeah, you let me know what you find out. I'm curious about that.
All right.
And then the last one, we had Danny Welniak on a few weeks ago talking Chiefs, KCTV5 sports director, and she's expecting a child, her first here very soon, going to be a girl. And so I was asking her about names and all this stuff about naming the baby. And your name is Matt, but I'm guessing it was Matthew. Am I correct in saying that?
Correct.
Okay. So a couple things here. One, when you, I'm sure you were a saint and an angel and never got in trouble, but let's just imagine that Matt Walters got in trouble when he was growing up. Is that when suddenly Matthew was used more often?
Yeah, that and my first name as well.
Okay.
I knew I was in deep water when the first name and Matthew came out.
Yeah.
When I heard that, it was run for cover.
Uh-huh. Well, you want to share with everybody now listening what your full name is?
Let's just say I'm half of the Gospels.
Okay. All right. That'll work. And then if you could possibly, you know, we're stuck with the name that we get, you know, for the most part. And we're born, and we have no decision-making in this thing. Mom and Dad decide. But if you could, if you were told, listen, Matt, you can't have that name anymore. You cannot have it. But you can pick any other name that's out there. What would Matt Walters' name be?
Good Lord.
Good Lord? That's a good one. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Didn't expect that.
Not even remotely prepared.
That's why it's off the wall.
I remember years and years ago, I thought if I were to have a son or a daughter, I would want them to have names that would be spelled differently, partly mm-hmm. because my oldest brother won the National Spelling Bee back in 1968.
Oh, wow.
Before I was even born, and I would have wanted a girl whose name was McKay because I saw it in a basketball program once.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And that would have been spelled M-A-K-A-Y, but I would have wanted to be named Jason, and I would have wanted to be spelled J-E-Y-S-O-N.
J-E-Y-S-O-N. Okay. I don't know if I actually – have you seen that by anybody since? Have you seen Jason spelled
nope.
that way? Oh, I like it.
Nope.
I like it. Not good when you're trying to write an article about a guy's name Jason. I have to worry about how to spell it. You'd think you would know how to spell that one. That and the other
Let
thing –
Let me ask you one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Crab legs or lobster?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like either, so I would probably be...
Okay, this is the last
too
time
much work.
I will...
Too much work.
The last time I will ever be on this show. You are fired. I am out.
My wife, when we go to a seafood place, she gets crab legs, okay? And I will eat some of that crab leg meat or whatever, and it's good. Don't get me wrong. I like it. But it's too much work for me. I guess it's just too much work. I see her working and working up a sweat to get one bite of crab leg meat, and I'm sitting over here going, hey, I got a steak. I'm good to go. I ate half of it. So I think that's part of it. It's just too much work for me.
Don't get me wrong. I love steak, but, yeah, Yeah, you called it good. Again, you are fired because crab legs and lobster are spectacular, and they're well worth the work. What did Bill Snyder say? You get it. You get from what you get what you put into it, right?
Yeah, right.
There you go.
Right. All right. Well, do you like?
I am thoroughly disappointed in you. Please do not call me again for at least a year, and I'll still probably tell you no. I'm not coming on.
All right. That sounds good. Duly noted. And then let me ask you a return question. Do you like sushi?
Oh, God, no. Nasty.
You know, I fought that forever with my wife. And then I went with some buddies to Denver for a road trip. And, well, we had a pop or two. And we were at this place. For some reason, we went in. And they told me, come on, Gerstner, you gotta try sushi. I'm like, nah. And they finally got me to eat it. And I actually really liked it. And my wife still, I think, is upset with me to this day because I fought trying sushi. I'd never try it when I was around her. And then I went out with the guys to Denver, and they got me to try it, and I liked it. And she said, see, I told you all along. I knew you would like it. So
I'm going to use your words against you. You
yes.
ready?
Yeah, go for it.
I got a steak on my plate. I might as well enjoy that.
I do like that answer. That's good. Well, Matt, great times, and I guess I'll talk to you again October 8th of 2021.
If you're lucky.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the time.
You bet. Take care. Have a good one.
Take care. Matt Walters having a good time here on the Sports Ticket. K-State In Focus brought to you, as always, by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Matt Walters, our guest today from the K-State Sports Radio Network, does a great job on the sideline pre- and post-game.